Good morning, everybody. Wonderful. Good morning. Thanks very much. Can I just make a few, a few housekeeping announcements before we get underway? First of all, to say that there is no fire drill this morning, so if we do hear the fire alarm, we should treat it seriously and make our way out through the main staircase and out of the building and just gather a fair distance from the building. There isn't a gathering point, I understand, but it'll be obvious to us when we're down there. You found your way to the coffee and the sticky buns, I guess. That is where coffee breaks will be during the rest of the day, but lunch will be in the restaurant, which is downstairs on the ground floor. So make your way down there after the workshops for lunch today. The workshops themselves are all on this floor, and the vast majority of them are in the area off where the coffee was being served. So make your way through to there for workshops, and then there are signposts to all of the workshops, with one exception. The Developing Scotland's Young Workforce workshop takes place in a room just adjacent to the registration desk where you came in this morning. So workshop number one is there. All the other workshops are off the main coffee lounge area, and you'll find it there. And there will be people to direct you as well as the signs. I hope that's everything. You should have picked up a conference booklet when you arrived, and all of the information is in there, including all of the workshops that you have signed up for during the day, if you cannot remember which ones you chose or the order in which they're to take place. And again, there will be staff around to help you if required. So thank you very much. It's my pleasure now to introduce Professor Vent, who is the chair of the National Implementation Board and your chair for the conference today.
Good morning, everybody. I'm not going to give a proper welcome yet. That is going to come after the Cabinet Secretary has spoken. But for the time being, I want to thank the Cabinet Secretary for taking time out to speak today, and because there seem to be busy times at the moment, I think, so we really appreciate that you are here. As a short introduction to Angela Constance, she was born, raised, and educated in West Lothian. Prior to 2007, she worked as a social worker and mental health worker and was a local councillor in Livingston. She has been a member of the Scottish Parliament since May 2007, first for the Livingston constituency and now for the Almond Valley constituency. As we know, she has served as Minister for Youth Employment and Cabinet Secretary for Training, Youth and Women's Employment. She was appointed as Cabinet Secretary for Education and Lifelong Learning in November 2014. Thank you very much, Cabinet Secretary, for being here, and over to you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much, Petra, for inviting me here today and, of course, for hosting this event. It's a very special opportunity for me to be here this morning to provide the opening remarks for this legacy event, the legacy of Teaching Scotland's Future, because I was reflecting on my journey here this morning that one of the first things I had to do when I was appointed as a junior minister more than 4 years ago now was I had to stand in for my boss, Michael Russell, at very short notice and do the ministerial statement in response to the recommendations flowing from Teaching Scotland's Future. So I was very much flung in at the deep end on that occasion. So here we all are, more than 4 years on, and we know that much has been achieved, and today is a very important opportunity to discuss the next steps in the teacher education agenda, and how all of that links with closing the attainment gap, curriculum for excellence, the Scottish Attainment Challenge, and developing Scotland's young workforce. But firstly, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to start by saying that education is at the very heart of this government, and education is at the very heart of the Scotland that we seek. And we understand the impact that education has on not just the life chances of children and young people, but on the future prospects of the whole country. And the three big themes of this government is growing the economy, tackling inequality and reforming public services. And education is at the very heart of each of those three distinct but, of course, overlapping strands. As a government, we are absolutely committed to improving the offer that we make to our learners in our schools. We know that we already have many of the ingredients in place to make Scottish education truly excellent. In Curriculum for Excellence, we have that long-term national plan for success. And against most indicators, we are seeing progress in Scotland. We know we've got an improving school estate. We've got a graduate teaching profession, a culture of working together to tackle our problems, record exam results and record school leaver destinations, positive school leaver destinations. And I am very proud of our schools, and I know the tremendous work Scottish teachers undertake every time they enter their classrooms. And I appreciate, and I've seen firsthand, the skill and dedication which teachers bring to their work each and every day. Yet, we still have young people that are not reaching their full potential, and we still have gaps in attainment. We know there's an attainment gap between the children from the least and most disadvantaged backgrounds, and I know that Sue Ellis will be speaking later about closing the poverty-linked attainment gap. And we know that some of the gaps that we have in education in Scotland are wider than some of the comparable European countries. And I have to speak plainly, ladies and gentlemen, this is utterly unacceptable. But we can make a real difference to the lives of our children, but only if we acknowledge our shortcomings as well as our successes. And we can make a real difference to the lives of our children, but only if we continue to work and recognise the contribution that we each can make to reduce the effects of inequality in our schools. Literacy figures published last week highlight the challenge that we face. If we are to deliver our ambitions for our children and young people, we have to ensure that we give them the foundations of literacy, numeracy and health and well-being. And we need to recognise the strengths of our system, but we have to be willing to say where we need to improve. And the literacy results published last week fell short of our aspirations for our children and our young people. And we have a responsibility to the country as a whole, and we have a responsibility to each and every child in this country to address the challenges. And we are taking steps to address those challenges. We know there are children in Scotland that need our support, and we know that we have a universal offer that will, for example, deliver a new literacy campaign, Read, Write, Count, aimed at primary 1 to 3 children. And there will be a suite of resources to support that. There will be an attainment advisor available to each local authority, and we'll continue to support the Raising Attainment for All programme, which now covers 23 local authorities with 180 schools participating. And I have to say, I've been very impressed by the work, the commitment and the energy that is around the Raising Attainment for All programme. We also have a targeted offer focused on those areas where we have identified a particular need. The Scottish Attainment Challenge is backed by £100 million over 4 years, and will bring a greater sense of urgency to raise attainment in Scotland's most disadvantaged communities. In the first instance, we have identified 7 local authorities to participate in the Scottish Attainment Challenge, and it's those local authorities with the highest proportion of primary school children from the most disadvantaged households. From these 7 local authorities, they range from the smallest local authority, Clackmannanshire, to the largest local authority in Glasgow. And collectively, the 7 local authorities involved have more than half the population of Scotland's poorest children. We will also use the forthcoming Education Bill to bring forward a range of measures designed to drive improvement right across our education system. And specifically, the Bill proposes a requirement that education authorities and Scottish ministers attach greater significance to narrowing the attainment gap, ensuring that this is a priority for everyone. And the introduction of reporting duties will ensure increased accountability both at local and national level. Now, I have a particular passion for the developing the young workforce agenda, and we are implementing the recommendations of the Commission that was led by Sir Ian Wood. And this is all with a view to improving the life chances of our young people. And this is work that I started in my previous role, and I remain absolutely committed to the Developing Young Workforce agenda. As we know, it's a seven-year national programme to improve the options on offer for our young people to help them get into jobs. And in doing so, we will reduce youth unemployment to levels of the best performing countries in Europe. We want the senior phase in our schools to reach its full potential. We want to reach the ambition and vision that we all have around the senior phase and curriculum for excellence. And we want every young person to have the right opportunities, the right blend of opportunities that is right for their ambitions and their learning. I want to move away from this false divide of academic versus vocational. And neither do I want to see vocational education seen as something that's for the children that didn't do as well in their hires. Vocational education is for everyone, and we have to ensure that we have that right spectrum of opportunities available for, you know, entry-level opportunities in the labour market to those higher-level skills. And in pursuing the Developing Young Workforce agenda, we will, I believe, take great strides forward in improving equity within our schools. So we're working with partners, local authorities, which of course have a lead role in driving forward this agenda. And that's why £6.5 million of the funding for 2014-15 has been given to local authorities to maintain that momentum at a local level and to support the joint working between schools, colleges and employers. And that connectivity between the world of education and the world of work, of course, was a key component of teaching Scotland's future. So it's relevant to, you know, the development of the teaching workforce, but that connectivity between the world of education and the world of work is also highly relevant for ensuring that our young people, that all our young people, leave school and get the best chance, best start to their working lives. Now, I mentioned earlier the SSLN Literacy Survey. The Scottish Government introduced the SSLN survey so that we would have a better picture with regards to what was happening on the ground. And it is clear that we have a significant challenge in the teaching of literacy. And last week's results demonstrate that we need to redouble our efforts. And we are redoubling our efforts. Since the survey was undertaken at this time last year, as I've mentioned, we are continuing to support the Raising Attainment for All programme. We've introduced attainment advisors, Scottish Attainment Challenge, backed up by the Scottish Attainment Fund, and of course there's the Read, Write, Count campaign. But we are also taking significant additional steps at a national level to improve literacy and raise attainment. And this is by introducing a strengthened focus on literacy within school inspections, establishing a national improvement framework that will be developed with education partners, and crucially by working with parents and carers to develop resources to support learning at home from the early years right through to secondary school. And we must provide all our children with the foundations for success from an early age. We know that good literacy, numeracy and health and well-being are absolutely core and essential. And at the same time, we need to recognise that success can and must ultimately arrive in a variety of shapes and sizes based on the needs of individual children. A one-size-fits-all approach simply isn't going to work, but we also have to be informed by what the evidence is telling us about what does work. So whether it's improving literacy and numeracy, closing the attainment gap, implementing the Scottish Attainment Challenge, or developing Scotland's young workforce, teacher quality and strong educational leadership underpins all of this work. And put simply, without a highly skilled and professional teaching workforce, we will not see the improvement and changes to our education system that our children and young people deserve. Teachers are at the heart of our ambition for children and young people, and it is why, as a government, we've placed such an emphasis on ensuring that we maintain the numbers of teachers. And the importance of quality teaching and leadership throughout the education system is a message that I heard very strongly when I was at the OECD Summit in Teaching in Canada, a summit that I attended in partnership with leaders of the teaching unions and educational experts from across the UK. Now, I know that Petra will talk more about the detail in and around the important work in teacher education that has been taken forward since Teaching Scotland's Future was published. And for my part, I've been impressed by the achievements of the National Implementation Board and want to put on record my thanks to the many organisations and individuals involved in this very important programme of work. And one of the main outcomes of Teaching Scotland's Future has been the establishment of the Scottish College for Educational Leadership. This is evidence of our continued commitment to ensuring that we have leaders with the right skills in our schools. And I would remind you all that SCEL is and will continue to be inclusive with membership, open to all teachers, with that focus on leadership at all levels. And one of the key early tasks for SCEL has been leading the design of the new qualification for headship that will be launched in August this year. And you will have seen, no doubt, that the recent announcement by the First Minister that the new qualification for leadership will be mandatory from 2018-19 for all head teachers prior to their appointment to their first post. And we know the important role that head teachers play, and it is absolutely right that we seek to effectively prepare those who take up leadership roles. Leadership is not easy, and for many moving into a role as a head teacher, it is both personally and professionally challenging. And we owe it to those with the confidence to apply for headship posts to ensure that they are well prepared and well supported once they are in post. And I am aware that many of you here today will currently be identifying teachers that may wish to undertake this programme. And we are currently working very hard with local authorities to agree a funding model and will set out the arrangements for this as soon as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, Teaching Scotland's Future set an important and ambitious agenda. And I thank you for working together to take it forward. We have achieved much, and we have done that by working in partnership. And it's important that we take a moment to reflect on what has been achieved and, importantly, the way in which this has been achieved. Much has been done, but, of course, much remains still to do. In teacher education, leadership and developing the sense of teaching as a learning profession is at the core of this government's work. So I want to assure each and every one of you of this government's firm and ongoing commitment to this agenda. Thank you again for inviting me to your conference today, and I hope you all have a great day. Thank you.